Unit 8. The Making of Great Artists.
艺术大师成因。
Lesson 1. Gene and Art.
基因与艺术。
2. Reading. Mad Genius and Genes. Read the passage and do the exercises.
Blame Vincent van Gogh. The artist became famous for his works, which now hang in nearly every major museum on the planet.He also became famous for his madness, including a story in the late 1880s when he cut off a part of his ear to spite fellow artist Paul Gauguin. His personality problems and artistic genius perhaps came from the same source, mental illness. Van Gogh was by far not the only example of an apparent merger between psychiatric disorders and creativity. Composer,Ludwig van Beethoven, artist Edvard Munch, poet Sylvia Plath, and novelist David Foster Wallace were all known both for an ability to produce something unique and for suffering from one or more mental illnesses. Some scientists also have suggested that some illnesses may rewire the brain differently enough in artists and other creative types so they can come up with ideas unattainable to normal people. However, more recent and more carefully designed studies are beginning to question this connection, at least on a genetic and biological level.The study found that most people in the creative professions were not any more likely to suffer from mental illness than members of any other professional group. So, the debate continues. Until we have better definitions of mental illnesses that are based more on genetics and biology than behavior, it will be very difficult to make a solid connection between creative genius and mental health.After all, when Van Gogh removed a part of his ear and suffered from a number of diseases, Paul Gauguin was equally creative, but at the time suffered from none of these.
3. Listening. From nature or nurture.
Listen to and read the passage and fill in the blanks.
Though the discovery of creativity genes indicates that certain people may have a natural tendency for divergent thinking, this does not tell the whole story. A lot depends on how your genes are expressed, and this is where the environment can play a defining role. Researchers found that many individuals with artistic creativity suffered from severe traumas in life,whether it be psychological or physical abuse, neglect, hostility, or rejection. At the biological level, trauma is associated with functional change of the brain, and it also affects the expression of genes. So, are we born creative or not? While factors such as upbringing play a key role in your brain's development, the work done by scientists in Scandinavia, Germany, and the U.S.has shown that having the right genetic makeup can make your brain more inclined towards creative thinking. The rest of us have to learn to be creative. 4. Listening. Creativity are more than inherited. Listen to and read the conversation. Choose the best answer to each question.
Is creative talent, whether novelistic, musical, or artistic, something to be born with or something to be acquired with practice?
Well, the first option presents a strong case.
Tell me something.
As we know, the Waugh family produced 3 generations of novelists, which indicates at least the possibility of artistic talent passing on through generations.
Oh, perhaps. Could you give me more examples?
There are the Dumas, Alexandre, Père and Fille, the Rossettis, Gabriel and children Christina and Dante Gabriel, the Brontes, Emily, Charlotte and Anne.
That's quite a lot.
There are many more, such as the Jameses, Henry and William, the Amises, Kingsley and Martin, the Millers, Arthur and Rebecca, the list continues to the present.
So all these cases support the view that creativity can only be inherited?
Not necessarily.
What does that mean?
Alexandre Dumas' son may have been a famous writer, but his own mother was the daughter of an innkeeper, his father a military man. Lesson 2. Self-made artists.
自学成才的艺术家.
2. Reading. Are artists born or taught? Read the passage and do the exercises. In 17th century Rome, the Baroque painter Orazio Gentileschi gave all his children the finest art education available. But only one of them, his daughter Artemisia, developed into an artist. In fact, Artemisia matched and surpassed her father's skills and became the first female member of the Academy of Design in Florence, and the only woman to follow and innovate upon the tradition of painting established by Caravaggio. What creates a great artist like Gentileschi, Van Gogh, or Manet? Talent or training? Artists are both born and taught. Many artists arrive in the world brimming with passion and natural creativity and become artists after trying other vocations. Artists are also made and they require training. Education and a culture of other artists, often an urban culture. Put an artist in isolation and nobody can learn anything from the work. A craftsman masters a skill, but an artist needs to innovate. Artists have to be in touch with other artists, building on what other artists have done. The necessity of both natural-born talent and social influences in shaping an artist rings true in the life of Artemisia Gentileschi. In the early 17th century, women were not allowed to attend all-male art academies and could only become artists if they learned basic skills privately, usually from a relative or through lessons. At age 18, Artemisia Gentileschi, a promising young painter, was initially denied entry into all-male professional art academies. As a result, her father hired the painter Agostino Tassi to privately tutor her. Later, she moved to Florence and became the first female painter to enter the city's Accademia del Disegno. She became known for her paintings of biblical heroines and for mastering the contrast of light and dark. Yet, despite Gentileschi's artistic success, she could not pass on her gift. Although she taught her two daughters to paint, there is no evidence that either of them became an artist. 4. Listening. An art lesson by a father to his son. Listen to and read a story, and then answer the following questions.
This is a story of a famous painter and his son. The father liked to see his son painting, and often admired him as he got in the wonderful world of his imagination. One day, he thought to give him a lesson about self-confidence. He asked his son to paint something. "But Daddy, what should I paint?" asked the child. "Something, anything you want." Of course, this kind of freedom made the child very confused, especially because he would have wanted to impress his father, whom he admired greatly. Finally, he remembered Rushi, his classmate. He set to work and painted his best friend in watercolors. As he finished, he quickly went to his father and showed him his work. "Not good," his father said. "Keep trying." Then he left. He began again to think what he might paint to impress his father. He chose to draw a walnut tree in the courtyard of his grandfather. In the end, he was again satisfied with his work and went to show it to his father. "No, it's still not good," said the painter. "But please teach me," begged the child in tears. "Look, try once more, and then I will tell you where you are wrong. But I'm sure you'll do well." The child, disappointed, almost wanting to quit, decided to make one more attempt. He simply painted what he felt in that moment. Then he went back and showed his painting to his father, saying, "You know, I really don't care about your opinion. I like my painting, and I think it is very good." At that time, the painter smiled and hugged his son. "I'm proud of you, my boy. This is precisely what I wanted you to understand. You don't have to paint to impress others. Paint for yourself, paint with dedication, but not necessarily to prove your talent. You must be the first one to believe in yourself. If you think your paintings are good, then this is all that matters."